Okay.
Look for it. Okay, we're on the digital recording. Peter, you come here? Chair, please. You take your seat here, if you'd like. Okay, let's discuss, since we have Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, we have to devote time to all the different Yom Tovim in order to cover as much as we could. The first mitzvah we have on Yom Kippur is really Erev Yom Kippur. The Gemara has a drasha that there's a mitzvah to eat Erev Yom Kippur. And there are three reasons mentioned why we have such a mitzvah that one eats Erev Yom Kippur. We have one reason because we want to make sure that a person doesn't have any difficulty fasting and get sick. So really the mitzvah is to prepare us for fasting. That's Rabbeinu Yonah. I'll tell you, there's no explicit mitzvah. I always say we can learn from this mitzvah that there is. There is also a reason because it's a yontif. But the yontif is an unusual yontif. The yontif is really on Yom Kippur. But we can't eat on Yom Kippur. So the Suda is before Yom Kippur. That's where Rabbeinu Yonah puts it. And others say not so much because of a yontif, but because of Simchas Kapara. We have a Suda because we have Simchas Kapara. Now these reasons, even though they're brought down as timim for the mitzvahs, and we're usually limited when we have timim for mitzvahs to explain halacha from reasons, but there's nafkaminas. If you say the reason is to prepare you for the fast, or you say the reason is because it's a yontif, or at least a substitute for a yontif, what will be the nafkamina between those two reasons? What will be the nafkamina between the reason whether it's to prepare you for a fast, or whether it happens to be a substitute for the suda that should be on Yom Kippur?
For some reason you don't fast anymore.
Oh, Yitzhak says very good. Let's say for some reason you're not fasting. A chayla, you have a heter, you're doing correctly. But even though you're doing correctly, still in all, the rationale to fast Erev Yom Kippur doesn't apply. So therefore, you can eat Erev Yom Kippur. You don't have to eat Erev Yom Kippur. You can fast Erev Yom Kippur. But if the reason is because it's a simcha, we have to celebrate the kapara. A person who eats also gets kapara. A person who eats on Yom Kippur, he eats because he's ill. He's supposed to eat, so that's kapara. So we really have enough gemina, lahalacha, if there's a mitzvah to eat Erev Yom Kippur, if a person is not going to fast on Yom Kippur. We also find an interesting machlokes, is the mitzvah to eat the night before, or is the mitzvah only Erev Yom Kippur? Some say if it's a yontif, the yontif is from night to night. If it's only to prepare, how much do you have to prepare? That's brachas. How much you have to prepare? You eat too much, it's not so healthy. Some people eat so much before a fast day, they get sick. That doesn't help you too much. I don't think it's scientifically proven. If you overeat Erev Yom Kippur, you have an easier fast. I'm not too sure anyone ever did a study to prove that point. But in any event, we do have nafkaminas, whether it's a halacha of achana l'tainis, or it has its own mitzvah, its own yontif. Now, there are two minhagim on Erev Yontif. Most of us, on Erev Yom Kippur, most of us have a custom to have very little slichas. Right? Erev Hashanah. Very little slichas. Small slichas. If you recall, on Rosh Hashanah, the slichas before davening almost never ends. It's very long. I'm not too sure how many you say, but it's really 2 hours. Slichas, Erev Rosh Hashanah, is 2 hours if you read everything that's in the Sefer HaSlichas. Erev Yom Kippur, 5 minutes. Others had a minig that Erev Yom Kippur, they had very long slichas. Says the Vilna Gaon in the Shulchan Kaddish that if you view Erev Yom Kippur as a regular day and the eating is not related to a yontif, it seems sensible that you should say a lot of slichas Erev Yom Kippur right before the Yom of Kapara. But if the concept is that Erev Yom Kippur is a yontif, you're celebrating a yontif and you're eating because it's a yontif. Yontif we are minimizing in the slichas we say. Therefore, we say only very little slichas.
Yom Kippur itself has a lot of slichas. You could say that people don't say. Now, certainly a yontif.
Yom Kippur is made for kapara and slicha, even though it's a yontif, but the chayvus hayayim is vidui. It's not a kasha. Now, somebody was once ill, Erev Yom Kippur, and it was a girl. And she was very, very conscientious in her observance. And the doctor told her she can't eat a lot. But she said, Erev Yom Kippur is a mitzvah to eat. How could I listen to my doctor? She wouldn't listen to any reason. Until they got Rabbi Kiviger to write her a letter and tell her, sometimes these things happen, you have to go to the top. And they got Rabbi Kiviger to write her a letter that she must not eat beyond the doctor's orders. Right. And then Rabbi Kiviger said, I'll tell you something else. I'm a suspect whether a woman is chayef to eat Erev Yom Kippur. It's a mitzvah, she's a mangroma. Mitzvah, she's a mangroma. Time-bound mitzvahs women are potter from. So Rabbi Kiviger said, not only do I command you to eat if you have to eat, not only do I command you not to eat even if you have a mitzvah to eat, but he says, I don't know whether you have a mitzvah to eat. Erev Yom Kippur. That's the Zman. That's the Zman. What?
Is it the whole day? Is it
no, but if it's one day a year, that makes it Zman Grumman, just like Lulav. One day a year makes it Zman Grumman. The only thing Rabbi Kiviger says that maybe since the aside of fasting is tied in to the mitzvah to eat Erev Yom Kippur, and maybe we can add a little bit tavlin. You know what tavlin is? Little spices. If the aside of eating, maybe it's to prepare you to the fast, so maybe women aren't exempt. But it should be Kiviger suffering. If the mitzvah to eat, is it by women, or is it only by men? Okay, this is the discussion as far as the mitzvah of eating Erev Yom Kippur goes. It's a mitzvah to eat Erev Yom Kippur, and it's a kiveger suffix whether women are mechuyevis in that mitzvah. Now, we find the din in Shulchan Aruch that a person has to be Mephias' friend, Erev Yom Kippur. You have to think in a couple of days, a couple of weeks, but you can't start thinking Erev Yom Kippur. Who did I offend over the year? You may have a long list, and it may take you a few days to tell the person, sorry, I offended you, please forgive me. And it says that Aveira Shebein Odom Lechaverai Yom Kippur cannot, Chuvin Yom Kippur does not help, Achi Yirata Chaveru, until your friend forgives you. So Shamayim's Mechila is dependent on your friend's Mechila. Of course, he has to forgive you after certain times. Now, there's a very interesting story I say over, but I think that brings out a very important halacha point. And let me repeat the story. I don't know if everyone heard of it, but maybe one or two people heard of it. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, who was the Rav in Brisk, once had a din Torah. And the butcher came before him, and the butcher lost the din Torah. And he went ballistic. I have to say it low. That's the drama of the story, Sam. But I'll raise it a little bit anyway. Because part of the story has to be said loud. And I can't scream. I'll say it over. No, Sam. There was a din Torah before Reb Chaim Brisk. And Reb Chaim ruled against the butcher. And the butcher went ballistic. It means he went wild. He says, this is not a psak. You're not a rav. Chaim didn't say anything. They wanted to eject this person from the, said nothing, you know, and that's it. He lost his entire, and he had to forego all the money that was ruled against him. Okay. It comes Erev Yom Kippur. Reb Chaim tells his son Reb Moshe, let's go find the butcher. He says, Tati, why do you want to find the butcher? He says, I want the butcher to ask me Mechila. What? At the end of Yuma. Very good. Very good. Very good. Very good. Very good. Like Rob. Very good. Very good. Yesterday's daf has a parab. I'll tell you something else about yesterday's daf. There's a nice word from Israel. But I'll call upon him. So he says, Tati, why do you have to go to him? He says, I want him to ask me Mechila. I want to straighten things out with him. They go to the shul. They're holding already by Kol Nidre. They find the butcher, they look under the talus, and they say, the Rav is here, you know, he'd like to speak to you, and sort of straighten things out. Rav, he's a ganav. He doesn't have a paskin. Even Yom Kippur at night by Kol Nidre, It shows you a person that even Yom Kippur at night, he loses himself. That I find the most amazing part of the story. Yom Kippur at night, you're going to get angry at someone. You're going to scream at somebody. I tell you, I've seen little fights on Yom Kippur also about Aliyahs, about other silly, petty things. It's amazing. It's amazing. I mean, it really tells you about a person. You know, guy standing before the executioner's door, and then he's fighting, you know, who should go first. I mean, it's ridiculous. Anyway, so finally, after he said, no, let's get things back together again, let's have shalom, the butcher refused. When they left, Reb Moshe asked his father, he says, Tati, I mean, you know, you had to take this abuse. I mean, what was the whole point of it? You didn't have to go try to make peace with him. Yes, they asked you, Mechila. So he said a very interesting pshat, which I'm just going to explain the way I see it. It says in the Torah that on Yom Kippur, we get Mechila. How? How does it work? So if you look up in Shomayim, in the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, it says, we're like angels. We don't eat. We're on our feet a whole day. We're not wearing shoes. We're like angels. But we're like angels in a very different way. There's peace among us. Yesh shalom bein ish l'chaveiro. So therefore, Reb Chaim argued that even though in Hilchus Mechila, I don't have to ask a Mechila, but it only has effect, Yom Kippur, when there's Aguda Achas, when there's peace in Klal Yisrael. So even though he did something wrong to me, if he's not coming to me, I got to go to him, because I got to make sure things are peaceful, and we are both shalom with each other. So it comes out when it says in Halacha, Erev Yom Kippur, you have to be mefais your friends. It's not only because you have to get mechila, and therefore Yom Kippur can be mechaper on Averi Shemen on the Chaveri. There's another compelling reason, because you need peace on the world. If there's shalom, then Yom Kippur has its effect. What's your first name again?
Ellie.
What Ellie said, the Gemara of Yisrael Salanter says very interestingly. It says Rav went to the butcher, Erev Yom Kippur, and he wanted to make sure the butcher would ask him a chila. So if he'd stay in his home, you know, for a person to get the courage to knock on the Rav's door and ask him a chila, it's very hard. He thought he'd walk by the butcher store and ask him a chila, and then the butcher would have an easier time to ask him a chila. He didn't do it, and as the butcher kept on chopping, one of the bones slipped, hit him in the head, and killed him. That's the Gemara in Yuma, yesterday's daf. Now, people went around and saying Rav killed him, because they feel that since Rav put himself out, and the person in the Esther Mechila, his chet was so great that he was killed. Rabbi Shlomo Salanter says, where did Rav get that hanhaga? Where did Rav learn that when somebody did him something wrong, he should make himself available and accessible in order that the other person could ask him Mechila? Because Rabbi Shlomo believed that everything the Moroyim did wasn't just from their heart, but was rather from Chazal. So he said they learned it up from the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam, during Aseret Yemei Tshuva, says, Dirshu Hashem b'himotzai, karuhu b'yosekarev. Go after Hashem when he is found, call him when he's close. What does it mean? On Aseret Yemei Tshuva, the Ribbono Shel Olam comes closer to his people in order that we can ask him easier. You see, the Ribbono Shel Olam does that. He doesn't say, go to Shemayim and ask me Mechila. He says, I'm close. I'm right here. You can ask me Mechila. He makes it easier for the sinner. So too, Rav has to make it easier for the sinner. That's
the theory. The king in the field,
Right. So that's where Rav understood this Yisai. Okay. That's the halacha of being Mephias, your friend. Even though many of us, or maybe all of us, I don't know, usually don't go to the mikveh too often, unless we have some chassidim among us, or maybe people go every day, but it's not a halacha. There's one tefillah a man has, bizman hazeh, that some rishonim say you make a bracha. That's tefillah erev yom kippur. There was some rishonim that say you make a bracha, so even though maybe you don't go near a mikveh a whole year, and even on Rosh Hashanah maybe you don't go, but Yom Kippur, it's important to go, because some say it's a choyv midrabbanan. We don't make a bracha. Suffolk bracha is lahakel. No, it couldn't be the rice. Tom, you know, maybe there's a bracha to face the rice also. See, the source is very vague. so it's hard to determine what it is. But Lamaisa, it's important. Now, some say you go for Tumah and Taira, you're Tovel once. Some say you go for Tshuva, then you're Tovel three times. Some people are Tovel seven times in the mikveh. I'm not sure Api Kabbalah. I was in Eretz Yisrael, and I had the schus to be in Tzvas. Right after the fighting stopped, you know, I said, it's time to go up to Tzvas. You know, Baruch Hashem, you know, a little bit hesitant. You know, I say, you know, right after the ceasefire is the safest time. You know, it just stopped. So, you know, we had a taxi person or a person who I met who volunteered his services. He offered his services. And I went up there with my mishpacha. We decided all to go. And, you know, Baruch Hashem, we didn't see that much destruction, even though I heard that in Tzfas there was considerable destruction. But we saw a nice apartment house that had like a hole, a blackened hole in the middle, literally when one of these missiles went in. Things were closed, you know. All the stores in the old city were closed. They didn't open up yet because it was right afterwards. But anyway, I went to the Ariz Mikveh. And I get into the Ariz Mikveh, I look around. Someone going like 27 times. Yeah, I don't know, like something Alpi Kabbalah. I don't know if anyone here was in the Ariz Mikveh, but it's the mikveh of choice. If you have to pick one mikveh to go to and one time to go to, they go to the Ariz Mikveh. No, you were in the Ariz Mikveh. Like, yeah, there was no Ariz Mikveh, no. Seems like, you know, a good 50% of the religious title was in the Ariz Mikveh. But, you know, people have different minhagim. But what's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, once or three times, that's it. You don't have to do more. Okay. Now, however we understand it, there is a mitzvah of tshuva and vidui on Yom HaKippur. Now, there's a very interesting machlokes, and things aren't understood so well, and let me place the shaila to you, that maybe it's something that bothered you every year. Now, how many times do you say vidui on Yom Kippur? We say vidui on Yom Kippur really 10 times, once on Ma'ariv and by Chazar Sashatz, and really we say twice for every Tzvilas. Not Chazar Sashatz, after Ma'ariv. And then we say there are five, right? There are five Tzvilas. You have Ma'ariv, you have Shachris, you have Musaf, you have Mincha, and you have Nila, and you say twice in each Tzvila. But the Gemara says there's another time you're Mitzvada. That's before the Suda HaMafsekes, right? The Ramban Shita is your Mitzvada before the Suda Masekis and your Mitzvada after the Suda Masekis. Says the Shlua Kodesh that we're Mekayim that when we say Tefillah Zaka. So some people are very careful to get the Shul on time in order to say Tefillah Zaka, which constitutes a Vidui. Vidui is confession. What does confession mean? You stand before the Ribbono Shlom and you said you sinned. Implicit in that is that you're going to improve. There's a steer in the Ramban, it's not the time in the Rambam, it's not the time to go into it. The Gemara says vidui is chatanu. That's it. You tell everybody in Shalom you sinned. However, another Rambam says, you tell me you sinned and you regret it and you're embarrassed and you'll never do it again forever. So that's Iker vidui, or is Iker vidui just saying chatanu? That happens to be a shaila in the Rambam itself. But in any event, what? That Iker Vidu is Chatana. The Stiri don't have the Gemara. The Gemara says, Ab Chatana Iker Vidu. The Gemara Nama Bey says, Chatana Iker Vidu. Now, the question is, the Rabban devised a new Vidui, one before Suda Masekis and one after. The one afterwards is, as I said, we're Yaitse with Tfilah Zaka if we come to Shul on time and we could say it before Shkia. But why do you say a Vidu before Suda Masekis? Who knows? Why do you say Vidui before Suda Masekis? It says, maybe you'll get drunk, like a person gets drunk by Suda Masekis, you know, maybe the fear of the upcoming din is so powerful he has to get drunk in order to feel comfortable. But that I can understand. But if you say Vidui, Erev Yom Kippur, before this, because maybe you'll choke Chas HaShalom to death, so what are you saying Vidui? I mean, every time before you eat, why don't you say Vidui? Guy comes to eat supper. He just say vidui. Maybe he's going to choke. What's the pshat? I think the pshat is that Erev Yom Kippur is a time for vidui. It says in the pasuk, "Lifnei Hashem titaru." Lifnei Hashem means before Erev Yom Kippur. The Chayyadim says you should be matai yourself. On Yom Kippur, there's definitely a chiyuv to be misvada. But the Chayyodim explains, Erev Yom Kippur, there's also halacha, a person has to be misvada. Why? Because you should enter Yom Kippur b'tahara. L'fnei Hashem, before Yom Kippur, you should purify yourself. Therefore, we purify ourselves on Erev Yom Kippur by saying vidui. So why say vidui before the Suda Mafsekes? Because even if a person chokes, he still goes through Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, it says in the Rishonim, and the Mishnah Berurah even brings it down, is a kapara both for Mesim and Chayim. So therefore, it's appropriate to say vidui Erev Yom Kippur because that's his man vidui. Every time you don't have to say vidui. It's not the time for vidui. Erev Yom Kippur is the time for vidui because Erev Yom Kippur is lefnei Hashem, before Hashem. So therefore, we say Erev Yom Kippur. For Chas Shalom, a person chokes. It's a far-fetched possibility, but it could happen. So we want to make sure the Yom Kippur will be with a vidui prior to it. But that is the question of vidui. You know, when you say vidui, you stand. You stand when you say vidui. Why do you stand when you say vidui? You stand. You don't have to sit. It's like Shmon Esrei. Because vidui is, if you look in the Rambam, vidui is l'fnei Hashem. That's why I think vidui is always in Shmon Esrei. Why is vidui in Shmon Esrei? Because when are you l'fnei Hashem? In Shmon Esrei. When you daven brachas, you're not l'fnei Hashem. The concept of standing before the Ribono Shel Olam is a concept reserved for tefillah. So therefore, you stand, you say vidui, because you're l'fnei Hashem. Regular mitzvahs, you don't do l'fnei Hashem. We're always before Hashem, but we're not with the standing and the concept of being l'fnei Hashem. That's only by Shmon Esrei, which is tefillah, and that's also by vidui, which vidui is also part and parcel of tefillah. Yeah. Tefillah zaka, l'chur you should stand. It's a good point. At least by the Chatasi Yavisi. Good point. Both are Mechavan to the great point at the same time. Some hold if you say Vidu when you're not standing, you have to say Vidu ever again. So if you're going to be Yitzhak Ramban, you should stand at least by the salient parts of Tfilah Zakai.
People do that?
I'm tossed over my head. I don't know. Can't tell. I don't know. But I'll go upon them. Now we know, at least by the points that speak about Chatasi, which are very much related to Vidui. Nochinami, you should stand by Tfilah Zakai. 100%. Good point. Okay, let's go. What? Most people really feel Zaka is not really Mehilchas Vidui. That's only the Ramban. The Shloss says, you know, be Yaitse the Ramban. Once you have Tfilah Zaka, you should do it. But the Ramban's a Chiddush. Most Rishonim do not follow the Ramban. Some people come to Shul after everything is done at home, and it's too late. It's already Shkia. You say Tfilah Zaka, but you miss the Vidui Kaidim Yom HaKippur. But truly, it's not the Iker. It's not the Iker Halach. Now, let's speak a little bit about chinuch, and then maybe a little bit about pikuach nefesh, and some other related inyanim. Why do you think you're allowed to feed children on Yom Kippur? It's an usher to give a child something not kosher, right? You can't go to a child and say, oh, I just bought non-kosher meat by accident. Would you like to eat it? It's an usher, right? You can't give a child non-kosher food. You can't tell a child turn off a light on Shabbos. It's machilom. It's called loisechilom. It's usher. It's usher min atayra. So why do you think you could feed children on Yom Kippur? So Yitzchak wants to say, I'll ask you a shayla. You're driving in a car. It's an hour to your destination. Your kid says, I want something to eat. There's no food around except off the road. Would you stop every time? Pikuach nefesh. Terry says every time a kid wants to eat, it's not pikuach nefesh. So why, when it comes to Yom Kippur, do we give our children to eat even when it's not pikuach nefesh? Now, the truth of the matter is, some say what you say. So it's kind of difficult to understand. A father has to, and a mother has to say, oh, my kid wants to eat. Let me see if he's about to pass out. You know, it's cruel. No one does that. But I think there's another reason. There's a Rabbeinu Tam in Sefer HaYosher that writes that things that are in the normal development of children are not subject to the Isser of Loisechile. The Torah said you can't give chazer to a kid because you could give kosher. You can't tell a kid, turn the light on for me or turn the light off, because the kid doesn't need it. But if it's something that the kid needs, even though it doesn't rise to the level of pikuach nefesh, you're allowed to give it to the child. Because b'makom ribisaihu, it's a Gemara in Yuma, which you learned a few days ago, b'makom ribisaihu, it's mutter even to be maichel an iser deraisa to a child. Even an iser deraisa to a child. That Gemara reminds me that Gemara says, so why can't you put shoes on a child? The Gemara says the kid doesn't need shoes. Kid could walk barefoot. It's not for the necessity of the kid. It's not simple that a little child is allowed to wear leather shoes on Shabbos. He could put it on himself maybe because he's below the age of chinuch. But if you want to dress your child in leather shoes, even though he's a young child, it's not poshut that you could do it, because you only do for a kid what's for the health of the kid, which is ribisayu of the kid.
More discusses at what age you start training them to fast.
Yeah. But you know, Lamaisa, it speaks about we kids to fast the whole day. Alpidin, you don't have to unless the kids bar mitzvah. A lot of kids 12 like to fast. You know, let them fast the night, a couple of hours a day. But alpidin, unless the child really is very healthy and very strong, there's no chiyuv that you have to have him fast the whole day, even when he is 12.
You should start encouraging him to fast part of it?
Yeah, if you don't do that, you know, he has to work up the understanding, you know, in order to do it. But
problem is in the shul, people bring the food in, and they're feeding the kid in the
shul. Better speak to the rabbi. Can't help you about that, Sam. Gotta tell him, don't bring food in the shul on Yom Kippur.
Right.
Who brings food into the shul on Yom Kippur? You feed the kid outside of the shul. I've never seen that. You seen that? People bring food into the shul. Okay. Listen, sit down, join the shir.
I want to get close to
this. So get over here. What's the difference, may I ask you? Yeah, I want to know why you hesitate or question that equation.
I'm wondering if that's the case, we shouldn't be able to feed him
confidence. You should have what?
If that's what we have to feed him, we should be able to feed him confidence.
It could be. The only thing you have to know is Rabbi Sada, something by nature is that way or by circumstances?
Again?
Is it only by nature Rabbi Sada? In other words, a certain thing, the kid needs for his health. He never needs chazer. Circumstance have it that now he needs chazer. I'm not too sure if it's the same. And if you say it's the same, Rochinami. If you feed a kid on Yom Kippur because of Pikuach Nefesh, you know you can feed chazer to get his Pikuach Nefesh. But if the kid is Rabbi Sada, that's the heter. But you have to know if it was just a heter lechatchila, that's the derech, or even if circumstances require, if it does, an achinami. There's Rabbeinu Tam. And I think people depend on it.
Isn't there a difference between the thing that he's going to eat, which is asur, as opposed to him having an Easter to eat?
Yeah, but there is machilin on Yom Kippur. The Gemara says that mefurish. So we see Yom Kippur, there is a machilin, even though the dezach is not a dover or asur, there's also machilin. We have machilin on that. Okay, let's go a little bit further. Yes? It says, Kol Nefesh Shalai Su'une is the Loisa Sei, V'nisim V'seichem is the Mitzvah Sei.
It's like refraining.
Right. And the Rishonim say it clearly in the Sechta Yuma. Yeah, he knew he's positive. You're refraining, you're Mekayim et B'Shev V'Altasa, but it's a Mitzvah Sei. Right. Now, there's a puzzling chinuch, and through this puzzling chinuch, I'll present to you the famous shita of the Magen Mishnah, which few paskim like, except Reb Chaim from Brisk. It says like this. The chinuch says that a chayla, even though it's not a sakana gemura, you could feed him pachas mekashir. Now, everyone appreciates what pachas mekashir is. A person, let's say, has to eat on Yom Kippur. So we tell him, what's a shir? A shir is the amount that if you eat, you get kares. Eating on Yom Kippur is kares. It's a lav. But if you eat less than a shir, whether it's less than mole lugmov or less than kosevis, whatever it is, it's only chatzi shir, which is also min atayra. So the chinuch says, if a person is not a chayla shiyeh, let me tell you his lashon, if a person is not, he doesn't have a sakana gemura, you could give him pachas mikishir. So everyone asks the question, Chati Shir, it's Osir Min HaTayra, it's not Midrabanan. Chati Shir is Osir Min HaTayra. How could you give someone to eat if he's not a Chayla Sheish B'Sakana, Nisir Tayra? How could you do that? You had a Shaila. So it says the Brisker up shot like this, and it's built on a Magen Mishnah. They hold that this whole concept of Pachas Pachas Mekishir was only said by someone who's not sick, but were fearful it'll develop into an illness. Like, let's say a person has a bad cold, an infection. Bronchitis, I don't think we say is a sakana at the moment. But it develops into pneumonia, it can be a sakana. Such a person, you give pachas, pachas, make a share. But if you have someone who's a chayla sheyesh b'sakana already, he's fighting pneumonia, Chazal said, you give him the full share. There's no din to give him pachas, pachas, make a share. It's only for someone who's not sick, and you're fearful he will get sick, who will become sakana, then you give him pachas, pachas, make a share. But if a person is sick already, and he is suffering, then Chazal said, give him the full share. There's no halacha of pachas, pachas, mikashir. This is the sheet of the Magen Mishnah, and this is how Rav Chaim used to paskin. He used to tell people who are with a chaylus sheyesh b'sakana, don't give him pachas, pachas, mikashir. The truth is, the Chofetz Chaim discusses this, and the Chofetz Chaim says it's difficult to depend on it. So, Lamaisa, even if a person is a chaylus sheyesh b'sakana, as long as you feel that pachas, pachas, mikashir is enough for him, it's difficult to be meikel. But if you feel it's not enough for him, of course you have to be meikel. But Reb Chaim was meikel for everyone. Are you led this pachas pachas mashir, because that's something which is derech hateva, or someone who has a condition that could develop to another condition. But if a person's a chayla sheyesh v'zakana, they held there was no inyan of pachas pachas mashir. And the reason why, because the Magen Mishnah says that when someone is sick already and he has a disease that is sakana dik, we do kol tzarchei achayla. You do everything he needs, whether you relate it directly to him getting better or you don't relate it directly to him getting better. Because I guess the feeling was, the pashut shot is, that Chazal felt that if he's a chayla sheyesh b'sakana, his comfort and his feeling could impact his survival. Now, it doesn't mean a person, let's say, has pneumonia, he says, you know, he'd like to, watch television. I mean, you have to think, maybe if he makes it feel calm, then maybe it's mutter. Maybe it's mutter. But it can't be like capricious. It has to be something that gives him comfort. There was once a shaila a person had, which is very negaya. He had to carry pills with him. They used to, I guess they still have it, the nitroglycerin pills. Maybe they have something better now. So the question is, how does he go to shul? So some say he could maybe carry a kalacha yad in his hat band if he has a hat in his shoe. But what's the heter? He's doing a malacha. So you tell me, but, you know, he needs it with him. Fine, let him stay home. So some would rule, and I don't think it's so bad, that for a person who has that condition which will not pass, basically what you're doing is you're saying he has to stay home the rest of his life, unless he moves into an area where he could carry. But otherwise, if he doesn't have a place where he could go with the Erev, you're basically saying he has to stay home his whole life. That's also Tzarchi Chayla.
On Shabbos,
that's when you go out to shul. That's Tzarchi Shabbos. That's also Tzarchi Chayla. That a person should go, meet people, maybe taking it a little bit further, but a person should go and meet people and be able to go to Simchas. That's also something that impacts his life, you know. Talk a little bit over the kiddush, you know, a little bit schmoozing, meet people, a little bit Ben-Gavra, Le-Gavra. That's also important, because the alternative, he has to stay home. That could make him a gloomy, and that could affect his health. I mean, the hospital, it happens. You know, I've seen that patients, when something happens next to them, heart patients sometimes suffer from pains, and any emotional upheaval could affect the person. So therefore, when it came to these areas, they were extremely lenient when it came to areas of pikuach nefesh. Now, exactly what are the shiurim of a person has the shaila? He has to know. There's a very big machlekes achrayim which impacts a lot how you're noyig. If you eat pachas pachas mikashir, when could you take the next pachas mikashir? Like, let's say you'll say a shot of whiskey, not a shot of whiskey. That'd be pretty sick to take that on Yom Kippur. But let's say a whiskey glass would be the shear of pachas mikashir, right? So when could you take the next one? How long do you have to wait? So some say when it comes to liquids, you really just have to wait a second. It's not mitzurif to become a shear if you wait just a second or two. Others say that you have to wait the same amount when you eat food. When you eat food, between every half shear to the next half shear, it has a certain amount of time. Some put it up to 9 minutes. Some say for his machmer up to 9 minutes. Some have 4 minutes. But some say drinking has that same chumrah. So if a person is drinking, by and large, people who eat on Yom Kippur usually drink and don't eat. It doesn't always have to be that way. But I'm talking about people who have, they're not deathly ill, but they have a heart condition, they get dehydrated, a woman may have a difficult pregnancy, they're afraid that it'll be premature labor. So usually drinking is enough that they're hydrated. So they take a shot of water. I tell them, once you're taking water, you might as well take juice. Once you take, might as well take something nutritious. There's no difference between water and something else. You might as well hop a ride the best you can once you're doing it. But then the question is, how long do you wait till the next chatzi shear? So some would say you should wait just a couple seconds. Some are machmer till the 4 or 9 minutes. By liquids, to wait more than 4 minutes, I think, is a tremendous chumrah, because even by food, there are many who hold that you don't have to wait. He's asking a shayla. Must be a gabbai. No? He wants to know, could you give an aliyah to someone who's not fasting? Pachas Mukashir. You're talking about shachris or mincha? You don't know what you're talking about? If you don't know, I can't tell you. Let's say shachris. Shachris, you can give an aliyah to a person who's not fasting, even if he just came from a delicious dinner. Because the Kriyas HaTaira, which you lain on shachris, is because of yontif. Nothing to do with the fast day. The mincha Kriyas HaTaira of the person is not fasting, that's Rabbi Kveger Suffolk. Because on every yontif, you don't lain by mincha. So maybe the Kriyas HaTaira by mincha is a Kriya of Tainis, not a Kriya.
Shabbos?
What?
Could it be that it's because it's like Shabbos now? Yom
Kippur? I mean, that's maybe what the Suffolk is telling in terms of the, in terms. It's not like Shabbos, you only have 6 aliyahs in the morning, you don't have 7, but so Rabbi Kveger is mesupik in that. But when you said it correctly, if a person eats pachas mekashir, Rabbi Tzvi Pesach writes in the sefer, then he gets an aliyah, even according to the tzad of Rabbi Kveger, that mincha you don't give an aliyah.
Maybe it's a tzibur.
That's the negation. Yes. Why not? If he has a heter teat, of course. If he has no heter teat, I don't advise you should take him as a shliach tzibur. Okay? Now, there was an interesting shaila. Let's see. I see a lot of people listening to the shir from the sidelines. Let me ask a shaila. There was a big controversy in Rishonim whether you could be Mechal Shabbos or feed a woman on Yom Kippur if she's pregnant when she is not in danger, but her child is in danger. Her unborn child. Ramban, Rush, Rajba, comes along, the Rush says, it's a beautiful shaila, but I don't understand. It's only theoretical. Why? Because any time the child is in sakana, the mother's in sakana. Right? So therefore, the Rosh said, you could talk about it if you want, theoretically, but practically, even if you rule, you can't be Mechal Shabbos for an Uber, but the mother's going to be in danger. Because a child in danger means the mother's in danger. This is what the Rosh says. And I have a kasha in the Rush. I have a case where the child is in danger and the mother you won't save. There's no din of pikuach nefesh in the matzav of the mother. Who could tell me, and don't give me any medical cases, because I'll disagree with them, because the Rush says it can't be. I have a kasha on the Rush. Well, if the kid is in danger, the mother's in danger, the Rush meant physically. So you have to give me a case that you're going to be Mechal Shabbos only for the child and not for the mother. The Rush says it can't be. The Rush was... what? The mother's already dead, but then the child is born. it's not an unborn child anymore. The Ramban says that. Good point. See, they bring a Gemara. He says, very good, Ellie. No, very good. The Gemara says if a woman dies on Shabbos, you're Mechal Shabbos to get out the child. So they told the Ramban, you see, you're Mechal Shabbos for an unborn child. Says the Ramban, if the mother's alive, he's unborn. If the mother's dead, he's not unborn. He's just Munach Bekufsa. He's in a box. He's born already. You hear? The Ramban.
You can take him out.
Yeah, even if you hold, you're not Mechal Shabbos for an Uber. That's not an Uber. That's a born child. Because once the mother is not alive, it's like the child is born.
Mother has a sack of meat.
Oh, says Peter like this. Says Peter, fellow. You're not Mechal Shabbos for a Mumr Lahachis. Ah, Mumr Teyovin Yar. Let's say a person was Zayvid Abay Dezara, and he tries to get the whole community to convert to Islam, say to Christianity, whatever it may be. What's the halacha of such a person? You don't save such a person's life who's trying to undermine and destroy and take away Yidden from Torah, right? You don't do that.
You don't say, you don't break Shabbos, say the way you're saying?
No. What?
Last week's parsha.
Right. Everything is either in the Daf Yomi or the parsha. What's happening here? So therefore, let's say you have a mother who was a mumer lahachis, who was a terrible person, and she's pregnant. The unborn child is a fine, upstanding Jew, and hopefully will be. And then she's dying. And the unborn child is dying. So the Ramban says, the Rush says, if you machal Shabbos for the child or not, it's theoretical because if the child's in danger, the mother's in danger. But I don't care if the mother's in danger because the mother doesn't have the schus to be saved. So therefore, I have to ask the Shaila, are you machal Shabbos for the child? So what's the Rush's Pella? He doesn't understand that the question's only theoretical. No? Nothing you haven't heard? No? From? Okay. Lucky you came.
So,
we'll come with a good child.
Do we have an answer for it?
Yeah, we don't give answers. Good question. Answers are easy. The questions are tough. Yeah, but you hear it. It's a good child. No? You hear the Shaila? It's good. Doesn't bother you? Okay, I hope it doesn't affect your sleep tonight. It might. Good child, it should affect your sleep. Well, you'll call me. Better make sure to take my phone off. So. This is a little disruptive. Okay, let's see, what time is it now?
3 minutes.
3 minutes. We have 3 minutes? 3 minutes. So let's see what other halakha we could cover that won't be, too long. You know, let me just mention, maybe because we speak about pikuach nefesh, that we understand simply, and I'm sure we do understand, that pikuach nefesh is not an option, that a person has a right to eat. He's obligated to eat. There's a famous memra in the Yerushalmi that says, the Rav who is asked a question about pikuach nefesh, he is maguna, it's very derogatory, and the one who asks is a shayfich dam. Why? Because by the time he gets the answer, the person may expire, and the Rav is criticized because he should have taught his flock. There was a minig that the first drasha a Rav came after his installation, the first drasha he gave after his installation, was on Pikuach Nefesh. Because everything else, you could have the luxury to ask, find out, and it's not final if you made a mistake. There's one thing that's final if you made a mistake, Pikuach Nefesh, because we can't make Tzias HaMesim, at least maybe last week's Haftira. We didn't have it. What was that Haftira about, the Shunamis? How long ago? 2 to 3 weeks ago. It was Tzias HaMesim, no? How long ago was Shunamis?
Alicia.
Yeah. It was a few weeks ago, no? Am I dreaming?
Yeah, no.
Come on. Yeah. I thought you, or you, someone had Shiloh? No? Oh. I'll go upon him. So it's not something that is questionable. And I always say over, to bring home the point, it's a pashut, the other pashut. Let's say a person's Mechal Shabbos, because he thought something was wrong. And then he found out it was a mistake. Mistake. You know, a person, let's say, thought a symptom on a child meant this. Doctor says, you're off the wall. This is nothing. Just a question of waiting a few hours, everything will get ready. You didn't do anything wrong. Because if you, in your mind, thinks it's life-threatening, the Torah told you to act. If not, we'd all be crippled. we all be straitjacketed. I mean, I think maybe it is. That's what the Torah wants. If you in your perception feel it's a suffix kuch nefesh, even though you find out you were wrong. I give the example, a guy's walking on West End Avenue. He looks a few blocks down, he sees something fall off the roof. I mean, I don't know if it's a kuch nefesh anymore, unless maybe it's not such a high roof. But he runs over there and he finds out it was a sack of potatoes. Did nothing wrong. Why? I was, from the very onset, it was not be kuch nefesh. The Torah says, that doesn't mean anything. Because the Torah said, if you think it's life-threatening, you have to go take all the measures you can. What? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But a suffix, you could learn, possibly, it's a suffix, and then it materialized not to be. He had pneumonia, and he was saved. I'm saying, even if it was a mistake from the beginning. No, you could suffix also. If you don't know whether it's a bag of potatoes or a person. Anytime it's suffix, the chayv is the Michal Shabbos. Okay, we'll end here. Okay, next week we'll continue Mezr Shem and we'll learn from Sukkah next week. Tough time.